Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Each of us has gifts that we can use to help others. And I'm coming to realize now that my own gift is the opportunity to help people who are reared in Western cultures to awaken and grow spiritually. I cannot meditate, and I don't have the time or the attention to devote to really working hard at growing spiritually. So I've found my shortcuts, and I can teach them to you. It turns out that, frankly, that they work as well as meditation or even better, so we're going to be able to do that just fine, you and I. However, in my travels, I've encountered great teachers who are on a very different path. One of them is today's guest. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and this is going to be fun. My guest this week is Tom T. Moore. Now, I met Tom when he and I were both guests on George Noory's Beyond Belief radio show. We went out to dinner together. We talked. I thought this guy was out of his mind. Well, I've come to realize that he's not out of his mind. He's just thinking on a very different and larger plane than I ever have. I think there'll be one day when he and I will be talking and in podcasts about things that I just don't even want to mention to you now. But meanwhile, today we're going to talk about something that's basic to all of our lives and very much in the Seek Reality mode. We're going to talk about mastering your own life. Welcome, Tom. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Great. Thanks for having me, Roberta. And I won't be too far out today.
That's good. But this is part of the fun of the work that I'm doing. I get to meet people who are on a different path, but when I find enough places where what I understand and what I've learned from my way jibes well with what they're learning from their way. I mean, I'm a very deep skeptic. I couldn't do this work if I were not skeptical. But I've also come to appreciate the fact that if you're closed-minded, you don't learn a blessed thing. So Tom has opened my mind, and I'm going to start to learn from him some things I really had never wanted to talk about before. You know, there's an old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. Well, I think Tom has come into my life in that mode. And so he and I may have things to share with you later on that will surprise you. But as long as they fit with what I've come to understand is true, I'll be willing to be open-minded about them. But we're going to talk today about something very basic. Tom has a system, and I'm not going to, you can tell us a little bit about where it came from, Tom, but to me, the focus is not on where it came from, but on what it does for you. And it's called The Gentle Way. How to master your life. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about your background. You're a serious businessman as well, right?
Yes. I am CEO of an international film and TV program distribution company. And as an example, in 2016, we'll probably release over 100 titles on DVD and streaming in the United States.
Wow. Okay, so we're talking here someone with considerable gravitas. You've come to teach the gentle way. And how did you begin to start to teach this? What made you, did you apply it to your life and find that it worked?
I was reading a spiritual article in the Sedona Journal of Emergence about 16 or 17 years ago. And there was a line in this article by Robert Shapiro, and it said, you can request benevolent outcomes in your life. And I said, that's kind of interesting. You have to understand, I've always looked at different kinds of modalities. As an example, I was trying out the law of attraction long, long before it had ever been retitled that, I guess, and just found it didn't work that well. And so I've tried all these different modalities. And so I said, I think I'll just kind of experiment with that. And so I started experimenting with it. And I just discovered that it worked perfectly. And I couldn't believe it. It was so simple, and yet it absolutely worked perfectly, better than anything I had ever ever tried before. So, I mean, I got really enthused about it and slowly sort of developed how to request for a benevolent outcome. And it just kind of, graduated. It evolved from there.
Now, what is a benevolent outcome? What's the definition of that term?
Okay. A benevolent outcome is when you say out loud, I request a most benevolent outcome, which I call an MBO for short. And I think it's an anagram. Is that right?
I guess.
One of those names.
Yes.
And so I request the MBO, and I put it out there, and I say, thank you. Okay. Now, in my belief system, I believe it goes to my guardian angel, okay? But I found anybody in any type of belief system, it works for. I mean, you can believe this goes to God, goes to Jesus, goes to Archangel Michael, goes to Allah or Muhammad or a Hindu deity like Krishna or something. It doesn't matter what you believe because it works, and it works perfectly.
Now, so we know, Tom, why that would be true, which is that there, in essence, is just one of us here. So
yes.
All of these named entities are really part of us, and we're part of them anyway. But that's a wonderful thing to say. So this is not a religion we're talking about at all. This is a way to use what we've come to know about reality to make your life work better, right?
Right. It's a modality. It's a simple way that you can make the request and know that whatever spiritual being that you believe in knows what your best interests are in the short term and the long term. And if it fits your best interests, then you will have the request granted. And if it doesn't fit, it's because perhaps something better is coming along and you just don't know it yet.
So this is specifically requesting what's in your best interest. Your best interest being something that, you know, you can't really discern yourself. Basically, we have too narrow a focus and too limited a focus. We don't really understand what's best for us, but our spirit guides are doing this. But again, everybody, as you say, it doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah, they can see around the corner, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
And they know your life plan, too. They're helping you live your life plan, so they're not going to let you win the lottery if, in fact, that's going to derail your life plan.
Yes, well, and that's a whole other subject. But and I even have a chapter in my book, The Gentle Way of Self-Help Guide for Those Who Believe in Angels, on gambling. And I've had some of the people that read my newsletters and blogs say, oh, gosh, I just don't gamble. I just don't like it or whatever. And I tell them, skip that chapter. You know, but I'm writing for everyone, and so I found that winning the lottery is a soul contract, a soul path kind of thing, and so most of the time we don't have that on our soul contract, but we do if we just request. Well, you know, I'd love to win, you know, $50 at bingo. I've found people, you know, it works great. I've even won half of a huge bingo pot on a cruise, half of $8,400 by requesting a benevolent outcome. So, you know, as long as it's not the big mama, so to speak, you know, it does seem to assist you.
So what this will do then, this is like, the law of attraction on steroids, sort of, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of my readers compared the law of attraction to driving a Ford Pinto and requesting benevolent outcomes to driving a Ferrari. Both may get you there, but the Ferrari gets you there a lot faster.
Okay, well, I'm all for the Ferrari way of doing things. That's how I live my life. So let's talk then about the process.
Okay.
If someone wants to try out what you're doing, what would they do?
Well, I tell everyone to start with the simple requests. okay? The mundane things, like I request a most vanilla outcome for my drive to work today or to the post office or wherever you're going. Before you get in the car, or certainly right after you get in the car, you request a benevolent outcome for your drive. And
how do we do that, Tom? What do I hereby request a benevolent outcome. That's all you have to do?
You say, I request a most benevolent outcome for my drive to work today. Thank you. That's all you do.
Okay. I request a most benevolent outcome for my drive today. Thank you. That's it?
Drive today to work.
I mean, to work. You have to be very specific.
Yeah. Okay. Now, as an example, if I'm going to two or three places, when I get in the car, I'll say I request a most benevolent outcome for my drive to the post office. After the post office, I request a most benevolent outcome for my drive to the bank. And after the bank, I request a most benevolent outcome for my drive back home. So I do it all at once.
Do you feel the need to do this every time you do anything?
I do, absolutely. I have personally missed being in a wreck twice by the skin of my teeth, so to speak. I mean, really, I don't get in the car without saying a benevolent outcome for my drive. And it sets it all up. And you can even say, I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive to work today, and may the traffic be even easier than it normally is. Because I found, if you can imagine this like bubble of light around your car, so that there's even a radiant effect. And normally I don't get into this for a little while, but when you're driving, it's like there's this, if there's anybody else in the car, there's this radiant effect of protecting those people, but also even the cars around you, because you're protected on your drive, it also extends to the cars that are driving around you.
Do you find that the more that you do this, the better the results, or did it work well the first time?
Oh, it worked from the very first time. But what it does when you start doing these mundane requests. Now, for people like in a busy city like New York, you'd say, I request the most benevolent outcome for a seat on the subway this morning, you know, something like that, or a bus. And I've done it in Paris, where a friend of mine is an atheist, and he's a producer of a couple of movies that I've represented in some documentaries. And so we had to go to a business meeting across the city. We had to take three tubes or subways across the city. And so I said, I'm going to show you how this works. And so I requested a benevolent outcome for getting a seat on each one. We had to change twice. So we had to take three different subways. And at each time, even in busy times, both going and coming, I was able to get a seat on the subway.
So does he believe a little bit now that you know what you're doing?
He said, oh, it's just a coincidence.
Of course. Oh, my.
Okay. So, and that's okay.
Let's imagine a theory of you forgot you were very busy and you didn't request it.
Uh-huh.
Has that been a materially worse drive or outcome than you?
Yeah, I got a ticket.
Oh, so it even keeps the police away.
Oh, absolutely. Normally, when you request a benevolent outcome for your drive, they're either on the other side of the street going the other way with the traffic, or they're already stopped with somebody on the side of the road giving them a ticket, and you go right past. So it's really great for not worrying about stops with the police. I've even had people that have been stopped by the police, requested a benevolent outcome, and they got a warning. That's happened.
So they were already stopped because they had forgotten to request the most benevolent outcome. But then as the guys walk into the car, they say it real fast.
Yeah, right. And they get a warning. So
you've written books about this. Now, what could be in all those books? Do you give stories or do you talk about specific kinds of situations where people can do this?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of stories. One of the other easy things to do before we kind of get into that, is you can request a most benevolent outcome for a parking space next to a busy mall or to a busy restaurant. And in my first book, I mentioned we were in Sedona, Arizona, and I with some friends, and I requested a benevolent outcome for our parking space in front of a busy Mexican restaurant in uptown Sedona that anybody listening to this that's been to Sedona knows it's very popular. And when we got there, someone just pulled out, and I pulled in, and I could not get any closer to the front door unless I drove in. So it works like that, too.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Now, some people listening are developing relationships with their guides, or perhaps you feel that your relationship is with Jesus, or you pray directly to God. I think if I were doing this, I would hold in mind whoever it is you believe is helping you. It doesn't matter who it is. It just matters that you feel that you are relating to whoever is taking care of and protecting you, because that will connect you, I think, better with the spiritual source, which is where all good things come from. And as you say, Tom, doesn't matter who, but it certainly does matter that you understand this is not magic. This is connecting with spirit in a more direct way, because I'll give you a few reasons why. One reason is, one of the things I've learned as I've come better to know my spirit guides and work with them is they forget what it's like to be human in the most basic ways. They forget that we need to sleep. They forget that the details of earning a living or of just relating to other people here. They don't have any of those issues in their lives. So when you get down to what's specific, as Tom is saying, I request a benevolent outcome for the fact that I'm about to go into this business meeting. It focuses their attention on your particular human situation and how they can be of help there. I can see why that would be very important.
Right. And so in my first book, I related, since I was kind of given my marching orders that I was supposed to write books, my first book had mostly stories from my travels and business and everything. And then in my second and third books on the gentle way, I started having so many of these stories that came to me from all over the world from people requesting benevolent outcomes. We started putting them in books. And so by the time the third book rolled around, my publisher said, well, we've got hundreds of stories. We're going to arrange them in chapters, like work and travel and home and hospital and so on, and just write an opening and closing on the book. So that was one of my most easy books because it was all these hundreds of stories that came in from people practicing, requesting the gentle, most benevolent outcomes in the gentle way. So, I've done these benevolent outcomes in really serious circumstances. In 2006, discovered I had congestive heart failure. And so when they took me into the hospital, when I went to the doctor, I said, doctor, doc prescribed something for my nasal because I can't seem to clear or something. And he checked me out and he said, Tom, I'm not going to prescribe anything for you. He said, you're going to go downstairs and check yourself into the hospital. You've got congestive heart failure. And I said, well, at least I'm glad I wore my clean undies today.
Oh, gee, what an attitude to have. Wow.
When I went downstairs, I requested a most benevolent outcome for it, to be the best for me. And so they first tried to shock my heart. And so before I went under, I requested a benevolent outcome for my recovery and also for the surgeons and all to do their job perfectly. When I came out, that hadn't worked. So about 3 days later, they had a guy that specialized in doing ablations in your heart. And before I went under, I did the same thing and had absolutely no fear. absolutely no fear. I was joking with the nurses and everything before I went under. So you can use it in really, really serious situations.
One of the things that I've learned is when you understand what's true about reality and our eternal nature, you really don't fear anything anymore. And I've gotten stories from people who have told me that I just spoke with someone recently who had just had me on her radio show, and then she had a heart attack. And she told me that she joked her way through it. It was very serious. And she didn't realize she wasn't afraid to die until she was in the position where they said she was about to. So I think that that's one of the great things that comes from having the kind of certainty that Tom and I both have about our eternal nature. You really don't fear anymore. I mean, what can harm you if you're eternal and perfectly loved? Nothing can harm you. But the point you really just made was it doesn't always give you what you think would be benevolent in that moment. Something, you know, you can go in for a procedure and it might not work the way you hope it does. And that could still be a benevolent outcome for you as well, because it's what you needed at that moment, right?
Right. And the ablation worked perfectly. I was fine for over 10 years. So, you know, there you go. Or 8 or 9 anyway.
Almost 10.
I just had to have a touch up in January. You can, again, you can have benevolent outcomes for serious things in your business. You know, being an attorney, you'll appreciate this story. I had sold some classic films in Spanish to a Spanish network that's no longer in business in Fort Worth, and part of my contract with them was that you know, they were to check these out to make sure they were in the public domain. And And they didn't check them out. They didn't do copyright searches, and they just started playing them. Well, lo and behold, they got sued for $5 million. I got sued for $1 million, and another company in Houston got sued for $1 million. Another distributor, and so this went on and for a while. And to make the long story short, we finally had a mediation down in Houston, and my attorney down there said, you know, you're probably going to have to wind up paying something. And I said, I don't know. I'm requesting a benevolent outcome. And lo and behold, the TV company paid something on the order of, I think, $500,000. The guy in the distributor in Houston paid $100,000, and I paid zero.
So there it certainly worked very well. And having been in mediations, I'm very surprised you came up. That's a genuine miracle. We witnessed few in life, but that was a genuine miracle.
I know you would appreciate that.
Okay, so I'm starting to be very impressed by this. And I guess that I think it's important to emphasize the fact that we have interests beyond our immediate interests. We are eternal beings who are living what amounts to a bad day in school right now in these bodies. And we have written lesson plans, and most of us wrote very tough lesson plans. People say over and over, I wouldn't have planned this, but yes, you did. You thought it would be a great way to grow spiritually, and you knew this life would be over in half a minute anyway. So
yes.
Living through it, you know, you might wish this weren't happening. If your guides, if those helping you through this know that it will help you to go through it, it won't be taken away. Right, Tom? I mean, that what's good for you is bigger than just this momentary discomfort.
Oh, yes, because it's learning for the soul.
Yes.
And we have these soul contracts that we agree to before birth. And that's, you know, it's our soul path. And so some people say, oh, I just fired my guardian angel because I'm so fed up with this life.
And you know something? I know, so just to share with you, someone just sent me an email. I think it was yesterday. saying that she hoped I didn't mind, but whenever something went wrong, she chewed out her spirit guide. I said, maybe not the right approach.
Oh, it's okay.
Her worry was, is it going to desert me?
Other side, you and your GA, as I call them, just get a big chuckle on it. You know, oh, I fired it, you know, so I got a nude guardian angel. Well, it's the same one.
Yes.
Personality.
But this person's particular worry, Tom, was that she always felt bad later, and she worried if her guardian angel would abandon her, or spirit guide, whatever you want to call it, would abandon her. I said, I don't think there's a chance of that.
No, never in a million years.
Anyway, just as you would not abandon your two-year-old for throwing a temper tantrum, they're not going to abandon us. They'd love us even more than you could possibly love your child.
Absolutely. There's so much love they have for us, and just know that you are loved. If you take out nothing from this broadcast, to know you are loved. So
and that comes from someone, I must tell everyone, who has a totally different research background from mine, and we've come to the same powerful conclusion, which is that you are eternal, you are part of the infinite, and you are perfectly loved. So what could possibly go wrong? I just want to just remind everyone, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Flying High in Spirit. And you can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Now, our guest today is Tom T. Moore. He is a serious businessman, and he's also a courageous and fearless and wonderful researcher who has put together views of reality, which I had not even imagined considering seriously until I became his friend. He regularly blows my mind, but at the same time, what he has learned is very down to earth in some ways. And what we're talking about today is what he calls the gentle way, which is the secret on steroids. I'm confident this is true, and I'm excited to be able to share it with you. So welcome back, Tom. This is something which people are, I think, listening to very earnestly, wondering if it would really work. Let's say again how people will request a most benevolent outcome. What are the rules of that?
Okay. First of all, you say, I request a most benevolent outcome for. Thank you. Now, you notice that I was sort of inspired to have that saying without saying any deities or not saying amen on the end or anything, so that anyone of any religious or belief system could use this modality in their regular life. They don't have to worry about having to stray off of their belief system.
Yes.
This is something to incorporate in your belief system. Okay.
Yes.
So a rule would be you to not request a benevolent outcome for anything that is not benevolent for the people that are involved in the request. So as an example, let's say a soldier in Afghanistan could not say, I request the most benevolent outcome for killing my enemy.
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay.
I didn't think of that. Yes.
You can't do that. So, but you can say, I request the most benevolent outcome for to get back safely from my patrol today, thank you. Or I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive from Kabul to my outpost, thank you. You know, things like that. And for some reason, maybe what he calls his enemy has to go take a break, goes to lunch, or is called somewhere else, and he gets back safely wherever he's going.
So we're not praying in the old sense of prayer. What we're doing is basically claiming the best close attention of those who are caring for us. And we have that all the time anyway. But as I say, I think it helps to remind them of what we need, because they're not always thinking of as we think. They are powerful, eternal beings who are not, it's been a while since they were in a body. So But it's important to say specifically. You said, I couldn't just say for my drive today, I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive today. Thank you. I would say I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive to work, including please make the traffic be less. Thank you. That sort of thing?
Yes. So, and these mundane requests, you need to say them. You know, some people say, oh, my guardian angel is probably too busy to take care of these little simple things in life. No, your guardian angel loves you dearly and will help you in the smallest things in life, but you have to ask. And when I've said, ask why, I was told because our souls set up the game that way, okay? That our those guardian angels that are there are there to assist us, but we have to ask for the assistance or they're to leave us alone unless we're about to, you know, get killed in some horrific wreck or something, and our soul contract is for us to live to be alone and you know, 80 something years of age.
Yeah, nobody is going to protect you from going out at a planned exit point if your higher consciousness has chosen to take that exit point.
Right.
There, the most benevolent outcome is that it be that you be out of the car, which we are, before the wreck happens, mm-hmm. or that you just don't feel the bullet or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the most benevolent outcome in those situations, but certainly staying here longer than an exit point that you're supposed to take because your higher consciousness has chosen it, that's not benevolent.
Although there are times, you know, where you have two or three exit points, and it all depends on whether you're continuing to learn. And if you're on a path of learning and experiencing and gaining knowledge for not only yourself but for your soul, then the exit points keep going a little farther out.
Yeah, I know. I've been told that mine have just been rearranged, actually. So I know that they keep doing that. And we are at the table when this happens. We just don't remember the fact that we participated in the discussion. I know for a fact, because it happened to my mother, that you can live beyond a planned exit point. Never a good idea. My mother lived past her last exit point. And I only know that for certain. She told me her parents had come. She just declined to go. She was 86. I only know that that was her last exit point because 2 weeks later, when I was seeing her in rehab, she said that they're going to let me stay later. And I said, who is going to let you? She said, they. And I said, well, who's they? She said, well, how do you know? That's what I said. And she said, the big tall man told me. Then she told me that a tall, glowing, golden being had walked into her room and said, we've decided that since you want to stay, we're going to let you stay a little longer, and then walked out. Of course, nobody else had seen this being. Now, I didn't know what that was. Tom, you've told me what you thought that was,
yes.
That being.
Well, I think it's a piece of her guardian angel, because I've been told guardian angels are actually whole souls, but we wouldn't know them if we didn't call them angels or guardian angels. They're whole souls that are so old that they emanate a golden light. And so they're called golden light beings.
Yes.
But again,
that was what you told me, a golden light being.
We call them our guardian angels.
That was news to me. I thought it was just an upper sixth level being, because there are many sort of descriptions. They're rare. It's rare to see them, but all the descriptions I've seen say that they glow yellow or gold, and they're very tall and thin and sort of androgynous looking. But, all of this comes together, but we're trying to understand a greater reality as an ant would be trying to understand human life. That's the relationship. We can only see a little part of it, and we will misinterpret a lot, which is why it's important to be skeptical and open-minded. Those are the two watchwords. You've got to be skeptical of everything you see, but so many people have done so much work now and research in all these areas that as we come together, as Tom and I have, and compare notes, we begin to see a little more of the big picture, because this other person has been working in a wholly different area. That's part of the, frankly, at this stage in my life, Dom, that's one of the best things about it for me. I know enough that when I talk to you, I can see how what you're saying, you know, is seen from a different view. And I think it's just really fun and exciting to be able to do that.
So, you know, another kind of rule I would call for requesting benevolent outcomes is that you do them all the time in order to make it a habit. Because if you just do it once in a while, I mean, maybe you start off okay, and then you lapse off, and you only do it once in a while. Then finally, if something really important comes up, you know, like a dangerous situation, whether it be a hospital or you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you forget to request a benevolent outcome. So I've had people, I had one lady that told me that she lives in a farmhouse in Kansas, I think, and there was a tornado headed right for her house. And she grabbed the two kids. She requested the most benevolent outcome for their safety, ran for the basement, and the tornado passed right over their house, lifted up, went right over.
Wow.
And I had another lady who said that her daughter in a California town was walking down the street, and these guys in a van started following her. And so she requested a benevolent outcome for her safety. And suddenly several people came outside a house, and the van drove off.
I think so. That's very important. I only would add this. Make sure that if you make this a habit, and I intend to try in my own life, never think of it as a superstitious kind of prayer. Because the worst thing about modern religions is that at their base, they're superstitions. They're not based in truth. This is a scientific principle. You have I would call it a spirit guide, and actually a set of them. Tom would call them a guardian angel or a set of them. But it doesn't matter what we call them. There are beings taking care of you all the time, and they want your best good. All you're doing is making closer your contact to those guides. That's a good thing.
Have you ever heard where the word amen came? For
yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were saying it in Egypt.
Yes.
Because the people were superstitious and wanted to add the Egyptian deity on the end. So
now, wait, tell me the again, because I mean, I read it, but I haven't thought about it lately.
Okay. When the Jews were in Egypt, there were the Egyptian deities. Amen and Amenti, I think. I'm sorry, I'd have to go back and almost read the story myself. But when they prayed to God at the end, they were superstitious, and they went ahead and said, Amen. In other words, like, we're also talking to Amen, just in case.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Well,
that's where that word came from.
In order to get to truth, which is what our job is now, in order to save the world, to fix the world, you know, Einstein said you cannot solve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created the problem. And what we're trying to do now is fix the world. And in order to do that, we've got to get past superstitions and better and more deeply understand the truth and live by the truth. And this closer connection with the guide or the angel who loves you and is taking care of you is a very important and valuable one, which is why I really wanted you to hear, Tom, today. Just remember, none of this is superstition. All of this is trying to use science in an enlightened way, which is what this is.
Yes, because as was pointed out to me, you have to say these MBOs out loud. If you are not able to speak, then you need to physically write them, okay? Because it is the scientists have not discovered yet the power of sound, okay? And when you request a benevolent outcome out loud, and especially with emotion, then that creates a very powerful energy with that sound. So scientists will be able to look at this one day. They'll study sound, and they'll study when people get together and say benevolent prayers, which we'll get into in a minute. When you say benevolent prayers together, this is creating this enormous energy of sounds. Okay, so that's
and that's I would just echo. I've been told, and I tell people that when you see a potential sign from a loved one, it's not enough to thank you. We say it aloud. It doesn't matter who's listening. Say thank you for the penny. Please give me another thing. Show me something else. But say it aloud. You're absolutely right, Tom. I again, do you see how even though we have different backgrounds and some of the things Tom says still blow my mind, there's enough consistency in the things that he has come to know and I've come to know that I really want to learn more from him. But yeah, we were talking before we started to record this podcast about recent events. It's no surprise to you all that we need to record these some weeks ahead of when you hear them. And fresh in our minds is what has happened in Paris. And I now request a benevolent outcome that between now and when people actually hear this, that's the only thing that we'll be talking about. But you wanted to say some things specifically about the tragedy in Paris.
Well, okay. Keep in mind that MBOs, requesting MBOs is specifically for you. So when you request,
I can't do it for the world.
You can, but you do it in the form. First of all, in my belief system, a most benevolent outcome is handled by my guardian angel, who knows my life plan, knows that soul contract, and knows what's good for me now and in the future. Because I mean, after all, people can request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect job for you, for the perfect mate for you, for the perfect home for you. You see, all those take time, and that's why you do all those mundane requests to know that things are working in your behalf, even though it may not appear to be so. Okay, when you get into benevolent prayers, a whole different set of angels handle all the prayers all over the world instantly. Okay, they respond to them. But sometimes if you're trying to do a prayer for yourself and it's not in your best interest, then your guardian angel kind of cuts that out. But we're talking about prayers for other people. And so there's like a million whole souls that we call angels that are handling these benevolent prayers. And so you say it a little differently. And when I first started out in my first book, I called them living prayers because that's kind of how I'd been kind of told. But I adjusted that by my second book to be called them benevolent prayer. And I adjusted it where you didn't have to say all sorts of different things. You could say one thing. I was sort of inspired to have for people to be able to say one thing so that you remember it just as easily as you do, I request the most benevolent outcome for. So you say, I ask any and all beings to blank, 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 thank you.
Okay, well, why don't you say it for us, Tom?
Okay.
Looking ahead over the next few weeks, what is it we're asking for?
Okay. As an example, for the people in Paris, I have put it out on my blog that says, I ask any and all beings to bring comfort and safety to all the people in Paris and to send them love and assist in their recovery. Thank you. Okay?
Beautifully now, done. All right. Now let's try to enlist aggressive help from the highest levels that we will not have any more of that now, and we'll be able to get our handle on the world.
Right. But when everyone says that together, I've been told it's like watching these prayers become rainbows, and they all come together, in this case, into Paris. So everyone saying these prayers from all over the world are like rainbows of light, and they come in to where you're asking. It can be, I ask any and all beings to assist in the recovery of the victims of the earthquake in Pakistan.
Yes.
Thank you. Or And you say any and all beings because perhaps it could be a man or a woman, or it could be a boy or a girl that finds someone in the rubble, or it even could be a dog or a cat or something like that. So you say any and all beings that are pushed there by, you know, by those angels to assist in recovering a person from the rubble of an earthquake. So the more people that say the same prayer together. So as an example, for those of your listeners that go to church, they can ask everyone to say this prayer and repeat after them. And so suddenly 300 or 500 people are saying the exact same prayer, and it takes on a fantastic energy. Okay.
Imagine how wonderful it will be when we are all praying as one people and one being all over the world.
Yes.
Then indeed the world will change. So tell people how they can reach you, how they can learn more about you, and then we're going to talk a little bit more, making sure people understand how to do this request for themselves. But in case I forget, what's your website and how can they reach you?
Sure. The website is www.thegentlewaybook. Got to put book in there. .com. Okay, that's the website, and on the homepage it gives you my email address that you can send an email to me and request to receive my newsletter, which really goes pretty far out. So people have to kind of have an open mind, or they can. I actually have all my archives all my newsletters dating all the way back to 2007 archived on the website, so they can start with the newest ones and see how they like it before they request. I also have my blogs, which have nothing but MBO and BP stories, also on the website that they can subscribe to.
All that I would add to that is that if you're a regular listener to Seek Reality, you know I'm very cautious about accepting anything as true unless I've seen it verified 100 ways. And some of what Tom says, I have seen elsewhere. In fact, I think most of what he says I've seen elsewhere, but I'm not convinced about how it fits. So I can't endorse your newsletter, dear, but I certainly can endorse The Gentle Way. I think, I think it's a wonderful addition. The secret was pop psychology. People would ask me about it, and I would just say, well, maybe it works. But I think because what you do is more consistent with what I understand to be true, this would be a much more effective way to enlist the help of guides and benevolent beings in your life. And for anyone who's starting to become more spiritual, I think that this is a wonderful step in that direction. I mean, the most important thing you can request, of course, is to request the most benevolent outcome for your own spiritual growth. Thank you. Yes. And that's what I intend to do now each day for myself. I don't know if I'll do anything else, but I certainly consider that to be, especially at my age, the driving force of my life, to grow spiritually and help others do it. And this is a way to get an army behind that effort in your own life.
Yes.
So Tom, tell us again, for people who might have been not paying attention before, there will be a quiz, everyone. Tell us again how one goes about doing this and what to do and not to do.
Sure. One of the things I didn't mention is that I've been told that requesting benevolent outcomes in your life not only keeps you on your soul path, okay, because it really keeps guiding you right along the soul path so you don't go off the reservation as my
good point. That's great. That is really important. Say it again so people really understand it. Okay. You wrote a plan, but you have free will, and you can, in an idle moment, go off the trail, and you'll know it, but you won't know how to get back on it.
Yes.
So the gentle way helps you stay on it. Say that again, Tom.
It helps you stay on the path. It helps you start raising your vibrational levels. I didn't understand that when I first started requesting benevolent outcomes, but I was told this is the simplest and easiest way to raise your vibrational levels, or as some people call it, ascension. Okay.
Yeah.
And it helps move that dial up up the scale, so to speak, for your own vibrational level, and that's very important. That's what your soul wants to happen.
That's why you're here, actually, to make that happen. So people would say, I request a most benevolent outcome for, and then they would talk about whatever that thing was right ahead of them, for my drive, for my work today and the important meeting I have today. And then they would say, thank you. And I think the thank you is as important as the rest. I pray in gratitude affirmations. And if we didn't say thank you, we would be not claiming what we already own, which is the help that we're getting when we request the outcome. So that's
yes.
great.
And honestly, when I started requesting benevolent outcomes, I didn't say thank you. But they were so great and they were working and so powerful
yeah.
and everything that I just automatically said, I got to say start saying thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Credit where credit is due, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
So that's all there really is to it. And I'm so sorry. We're going to have to stop. But this is simple. I request a benevolent outcome for the rest of your day, whoever you are listening, because I love you very much. Thank you. Was that bad?
That's great.
Thank you so much, Tom. You are such a delight. Every time I talk with you, I learn and I grow, and I love that. And we're going to have Tom back, and he'll talk about some more scary stuff, but only when I've learned more about it and I can sort of feel comfortable with it. But meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end, and when you fully grasp all the implications of that fact, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, you know, you can just go to iTunes and search for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, or just look at my archive on the Web Talk Radio website. There's a lot of podcasts there now. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Liberating Jesus, and Flying High in Spirit. And of course, my blog and all those books are at robertagrimes.com. Our guest next week will be T.J. Woodward, whose lovely book, Conscious Being, Awakening to Your True Nature, is another approach to this central task that we all have of seeking to master ever more spiritual, perfect spiritual growth in our own lives. So please join us next week. Now, this week, we've been talking with what I think is an extraordinary human being, Thomas Moore, or Tom T. Moore, as it is on his books. Dear friends, each of us is on our own version of his spiritual journey. We're all working hard to grow spiritually, whether we know it or not. That's why we're here. Jesus tells us there are many paths towards spiritual growth. Tom's path has been spectacular, but what about yours? What he is talking about today is going to help anyone who sincerely tries it. But as you know, one of the things you can always do is just throw away the rest of your Bible, sit down and read the red letters in the Gospels. That's all you need to begin to grow spiritually. But however you do it, never for a moment from now on forget that the whole purpose of your life here is spiritual growth. I wish you joy in your personal journey. And of course, you know, if I can ever be of help to you, you know how to reach me. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.